independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids and kittens. How you doing all this beautiful Friday? It's the Chad Benson Show, as she said. It's a he said, she said kind of thing. Jobs, plenty of them available. Because this new president's bringing back jobs. And we touched a bit about it last hour. Hey, you know, 235,000 jobs. I expected 190. We're probably going to see a rate hike. What does that mean? Man, it's going to be more expensive to borrow money, but that's also good because we're trying to fight the, you know, make sure inflation doesn't come. It's a dangerous dance, a very dangerous dance. And I talked a bit about my Uber driver today and his. Let's talk about the government. Not so much the government, just, you know, when we were talking about things in life that matter. And he says, I don't care about, you know, WikiLeaks, or he called it Wiki Thingy or whatever. I don't care about some of these things. You know, I'm trying to make it. I'm working two jobs. And those are the things that I care about. And Tika Fairball wrote in and said, trying not to be ignorant here, but what do Americans such as Uber driver expect our government to do in regards to helping them get a better job? If you have a job or two, they aren't happy with your paycheck. Isn't it your own responsibility to get better schooling or apply yourself? I grew up being told if you don't go to school, you'll be struggling to support yourself. I just don't understand why people think someone else, it's their responsibility for their choices they made. And here's the thing. He wasn't so much talking about it's the government's position. I think this whole thing is not. It's your responsibility in life. You know, I talk about with like the $15 an hour people. The fight for 15. I need $15 an hour. Are you going to do anything? Nope, I'm not doing anything different. I'm flipping hamburgers. Well, I'm training a robot, right? We got it almost programmed. The 8-year-old over here is programming it, and it's going to take your job. And he doesn't bitch, and I call it a he. He doesn't whine. He doesn't moan. He didn't groan. Doesn't need a day off, right? If you want to better yourself, then do it. You don't force legislation onto making people pay you more. What I think he was frustrated about is a lot of what this president's talking about. Look, don't plan on President Trump helping you get a job. The best thing he's going to do is help government get out of the way. Government's been playing defense on the economy for way too long, right? That's the whole thing about regulations and taxes. That's where government can help, by reducing regulations, and that reduces the cost of doing business, and it frees up opportunities, which then in turn creates jobs. Government doesn't create anything. They don't create revenue. I love when they talk about revenue. You don't do anything. You don't even make hats. You do nothing. So it's not revenue. You take from me, right? That's like me robbing a bank and saying, this is just revenue. It's not. You take from me, not willingly. I'm not giving it to you and going, oh, my God, I would love for you to have more because you guys do such a great job. Fiscally, you're so responsible. Take some more. No. And that's what I think. I think his frustration is I think he sees a lot of people on Capitol Hill and probably in his own municipality and probably throughout the state of Georgia and probably throughout the country, right? We have it in California, right? I mean, we have it all over the place in California from top to bottom. We have people who all they want to do is figure out ways to regulate and to put as many fees on you as possible, which over time, eventually, they nickel and dime you to death. And it's a struggle. And it makes us all angry. And we say, and then we end up leaving. That's what happens. You finally get up and you say, you know what? It's the cost of doing business here is ridiculous. That doesn't create jobs. Creating jobs, and we need to be smart. I always think the thing is, I think the Republicans and the Democrats always look at stuff in such a bizarre way. We're not turning off every regulation. We're not like, hey, guess what? It's a free-for-all. Because Republicans, guess what? You guys like clean air too. I grew up in Los Angeles. I remember what it was like to have smog alerts when I was a child. Do you understand what smog alerts are? Where they would come outside and you would look and the sky would be orange and they would say stuff like, hey, guess what? It's a 4 today, so that means you shouldn't play outside till after 6 o'clock. I remember what smog alerts were like. I like clean air. I like clean water. We have lots of regulations. Doesn't mean we always get that. Flint. Yeah, see Flint. Well, we got regulations, but there was it's always somebody else's fault. I'm just saying it is your responsibility to change your life. It is your responsibility. I tell everybody, you want to get ahead in life, you work hard, you show up every day, which is half of the battle, but you find out what it is that you can do that is going to propel you to make more than what it costs to live on a daily basis, and that's how you'll get ahead in life. Doesn't matter what it is. Find a trade. Find a passion. Go back to school. It doesn't matter. It's on you. But the one thing the government can do and often does is it stands in the way of people trying to do certain things by making things impossible, by making them jump through hoops that shouldn't be there to begin with. And I think that's what, of all the stuff that this president has talked about, of all the stuff that this president has done, and he's done some good stuff, and he's done some stuff that makes you scratch your head. But of all of these things, when I look out there, the thing that I am most excited about is the fact that he's looked at regulations and said, for every one regulation we have, we're going to get rid of two. That, to me, is great. But we do like clean air. I like clean air. I like clean water. I want my child to grow up in a place where there's clean air and clean water. I think we all do. And that's where I think the Republicans go wrong in this. When they talk about regulation, it's you know, we have regulations on top of regulations on top of regulations on top of regulations. We only needed one. We didn't need four. This is the same thing. All it did was tack on four fees. That's it. And that's the frustration that people have here. But I agree with you 110%. It's not the government's job to get somebody a job. It's not. It's your job. It's your responsibility. If you work at McDonald's and you're 47 years old and you got four kids, chances are you've made some choices in your life that probably aren't the best choices. Now, if you're 47, you're general manager of four of those stores, good for you. But if you're a fry cook and that's where you've gotten into life, that's on you, man. That's not on me. That is on you. Period. Figure out a way to better your life and stop looking for the government. We have too many people whose entire existence anymore is whining, bitching, and moaning, trying to get the government to change the game for them rather than going out and doing it themselves. Period. We had that complacent guy, Tyler Cowen, on. He was right, man. We're complacent. But that is one of the reasons that the populism of Trump was talking about bringing jobs back to the Rust Belt, how he won, how he got those states that really propelled him to become president. How did he do it? It was pretty simplistic. Talked about jobs. It wasn't about them bettering their lives. It wasn't about giving them 15 or 20 years of opportunity. Because the truth is, while manufacturing may come back, and we had a nice little bump in manufacturing, it's not coming back in the way that people needed to come back to sustain their livelihood for a long time. Because eventually, robots are going to be running everything when it comes to that, because it's just cheaper and more efficient. They don't make mistakes. They work 24 hours a day. There you go. Problem solved. We should be looking towards the future, not looking at the past. But people don't want to hear that because that causes them to have anxiety. That causes them to flinch a little bit. That causes them to worry a little bit. That causes them to, no, you got to think about the future. And if you're going to get ahead in life, it is on you to do that. It's not on somebody else. Doesn't mean you can't ask for help. Doesn't mean you don't ask for a hand up. Doesn't mean you don't ask for somebody to give you advice and to push you along and do all they can if they have a chance to help you with something. But at the same time, it is on you. That's tough love, but it's real. It is on you. I have a son. It is on me to do all I can to make sure my son has everything he needs. Period. Case closed. Period. Case closed. Not on somebody else to raise him. Not on somebody else to give him the things he needs. It's on me. And if I can't provide it by doing this job, that means I got to do two jobs. That's on me. These are the choices in life I made. And I'm not turning to the government for help. We often, too often, do that. And I think we need to stop doing that and start doing the smart thing by looking in the person in the mirror, number one. Doesn't mean government can't be a hindrance and can't be a helper by getting out of the way. But they're not going to hand you anything. I think, if anything, they're going to take something away from you because that seems to be the best thing they know how to do. Booyakah! The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, CHADBENSON. I'm Feisty Phil.
Yeah, you're on fire, man, my friend.
Hey, that should be your boxer name, Feisty Phil.
Only if I'm getting paid $1 million.
Not intimidating, though. And in this corner, the Smasher with 65 confirmed kills. And in this corner, Feisty Phil, ready to be the 66th. Hey, if you need a job, that's great. You're looking. And you've got great, great ability, and you've got an industry that you're amazing at. But now how do you get connected with that person that's looking for you? It's pretty simple. It is pretty simple. And you're that person looking for that person. It's kind of like going to a dating site. Well, let me tell you something. ZipRecruiter.com is that place. If you're looking to hire somebody and look for that person that is in the industry you need and that person that is really ready to be the employee that you need for them, ZipRecruiter.com can help you with that. Too often than not, we cast a small net when you need to cast a large net. One or two sites, you post some stuff on, maybe even do the old-fashioned way, put it in a newspaper or something. Stop it. Here's the candidate you want. Here's the candidate you need. This is the industry they're great at. They're going to help you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 200-plus sites, all with a single click, including great sites like Facebook and Twitter. And that is amazing. That's that big net we talked about. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails, no crazy calls to your work. All you have to do is quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the person fast. And it's the right person. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. Right now, the listeners of The Chad Benson Show, that's you out there, you can post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job for free. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
This is a historic act of devastating incompetence to have created such an arsenal and stored it all in one place and not secured it.
Not secured it. You would think he'd have a Spanish accent or something with a little Latin flavor after being inside of the Ecuadorian embassy for 5,000 years, having guinea pig. That's what they eat, so don't even say anything. Don't even, if you even, I will text you right in your face is what I will do. I will text you bad. Is that what you say now? I will tweet your face right off. You hear me? That was Julian Assange. Where is he from? Is he originally French? Is that what he is? Because I knew he was in Scandinavia for a while, and I say that because I think he was in Denmark and Sweden. I don't even know what he is. He's got that weird, like, Euro-American accent where, like, some words are like, well, let me tell you a story, really, if you'd like to do, about the fact that there was this thing. But if you haven't seen, there's a lot of stuff out there. We spy a lot. We are spy-tacular. We don't do it very well, apparently. But, well, we do it really well. We just don't keep the secrets very well. We have all of these awesome secrets, but we don't. We don't. We don't. Because now they're out. And it's simple. We're human beings, and that's what human beings do. That's why I tell you, if you ever think of conspiracy theories, right? Like, so when, because there's always these tinfoil hat wearers, you know, live in the desert. They print their own books about, like, why we didn't land on the moon and how fake it was. And I love, no matter how much you show them, like the 9/11 truthers. What was that movie? Small Change? Cheap Change?
Loose Change.
Loose Change. Loose Change. Those guys are on what? They're on like their fifth or sixth edition trying to prove that it was an inside job. And no matter, Popular Mechanics debunked everything they've ever done. And you know what else? Human beings, we talk. We inherently can't keep our mouth shut. Everybody knows in the office who you can tell to get something around the office. Like, who's that one? Right? Like, if this person knows it, everybody's going to know it. Because what do you think, that there's not one of those people at NASA? Right? And it's the same thing with the CIA. I mean, they're still human beings. And human beings are, A, inherently lazy. Right? We're going to do something easy. I could go to the secured server and send an email, but I'll just send it now. And that's what they did. And they didn't put any of the stuff where they were supposed to, and it got out. I love the conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theorists are the best. I'm telling you, Donald Trump has a little bit of that in him. You know, the first question he asked when he walked into the minute he was done saying, so help me God, he just like, where are the aliens? I need to know where the aliens are. I need to see them. I want to talk to them. I want to shake their hands. I want to find out where all the stuff is. Have we learned anything new? Did they invent Tupperware? What is it that they've done? Right? And you know the aliens, just like Roger from American Dad. That's the beauty. That's probably what it is. But he's got a little bit of that in. He's got a little bit of that. You know, the deep state. That's my favorite thing now. Hey, Phil, did you hear about the deep state?
I did not hear about the deep state.
So deep, dude. You have no idea. I'm in the deep south, but there's a deep state. And you go deep, 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 deep. Yes, there are people inside the government who have been there for 50 years, who know every secret, who ever know every dead body, who knew who killed Kennedy. There are people that do. Of course there are people that do weird stuff like that and know all that stuff. And they negotiate behind the scenes. They're the open door, if you will, the open voice to another country that work behind the scenes. That is what it is. But I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. You know, I think this was just us being careless. Because we are. We're careless at times. I'm not going to lie to you. We've been known to be careless. Like, all of us are careless. All of us. Every one of us is careless in some way, shape, or form with our text messaging or any of this stuff. So it's this is what it was. And again, we're finding out things we probably already knew or already thought about when it comes to the bad stuff is stuff gets out about people who are undercover or people that are being compromised in situations. That's the bad thing. But I don't buy into the conspiracy theories. I don't buy into any of this crap. Like, too many times, again, it's the tinfoil hat wearing guy out there with his big wife, and they're just sitting there being all conspiracy theorists, and she's like, yep. And he's just like, no, let me tell you, we didn't land on the moon. It was shot in San Fernando in a soundstage. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Crazy keeps crazy in. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids and kittens. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. To text the program. Love it when you do, 323-538-2423. Hey, how would you like it if your employer was allowed to do genetic tests on you? Little notice bills moving through Congress would allow companies to require employees to undergo genetic testing or risk paying penalty of thousands of dollars when employees see the genetic and other health information. Essentially, what they're trying to do is they want to do as many genetic tests before you so they can decide if you're a health risk or not and going to drive up their insurance premiums. They could pretend it's something else, right? But I'm a no, okay? And by the way, this is Republicans. This is a Republican thing. I'm a no. I'm a period. I'm a case closed. I'm not letting you look at my phone. All right? Not giving you access to my home computer. I am, if you really need it that bad, then you go get a warrant. And you're not getting any genetic from me. Now, if I'm there for genetic study, that's one thing. But if I'm working at the Home Depot, and I'm not saying Home, I'm just throwing a Home Depot out there, whatever. No, sorry, you're not. And I understand with everything they can to figure out how they can bring the cost of healthcare down. Everything they can to do stuff like this. They said it's about the employers got virtually everything they wanted for their workplace wellness programs during the Obama administration. Now they want people to participate in this or maybe even be you can't force somebody to give up their DNA unless they've done something. It's insane. I'm just sorry. 22 Republicans supporting it, and all 17 Democrats opposed it. as far as the House committee went on Wednesday. And this is missed because everybody, this is that whole eye on the prize thing where everybody's focusing on health care that isn't going to get solved tomorrow. It's not going to get solved 6 months from now. It is going to be a long, drawn out process. And what you see today and what they roll out and what they finally give you is going to look completely different. This is the sketch of it. Wait till you see what it actually looks like. But these kind of things, this is the invasiveness. And the Republicans sit there and they bitch, whine, and moan about the fact that, oh, government's too much in our lives. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, this is about the work. No, this is about the workplace. You're the ones who put this bill up. The worker didn't do it. You know, it's about a wellness program. We want to see what kind of risk. I mean, they'll spin it however they want to spin it. But that's a no. That's a negative, not going to happen. No way. Stay away from me. Employers say they need the changes because those two landmark laws that they've talked about in the past are not aligned in a consistent manner with the laws about workplace wellness programs. And again, this is all about workplace wellness. They'll spin it however they want to spin it. We have got this amazing wellness program, and we want to help you improve your health and productivity. We want to help you do this. We want to help you do that. They want to get into your DNA. They want to find out, are you a risk? Can I find something that maybe makes you a risk when it comes to my health insurance and the cost to my company? It's not whether or not they're, hey, Steve, we found out you've got some issues and maybe you are you could potentially have this or you could potentially. No, that's not it. Hell no, is what I'm saying. You stay away from my stuff, period. I don't know about you. But I don't want to give up my, I'm not giving a password to a computer, I'm not handing you my phone, and you're not getting any of the DNA or the genetic testing that you think you want for me to work here at your company. Well, what if you never work again? Then I guess there'll be a lot of people not working. There'll be a lot of unfilled jobs. Because I know a lot of people out there are going to be like, no, absolutely not. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. The NFL is got enough problems. Can I just say, it's time that we just let everybody in the NFL and in Major League Sports, especially the violent sports, smoke some marijuana to come down and to relieve and alleviate the pains that they have inside their body after smashing into themselves. But the NFL is in some serious issues because, according to the DEA, they have violated tons of federal laws governing prescription drugs, disregarded guidance from the Drug Enforcement Office on how to store, track, transport, and distribute controlled substances, and plied their players with powerful painkillers and anti-inflammatories each season, according to new court documents contained in a federal lawsuit by a former player. No way. Yes. It is insane. It is. I mean, we a guy goes home and smokes weed, and we got to ban him for 4 games in football, right? And then we have to tell him he's got some sort of drug problem. And at the same time, we hand him opioids and things that are 10 times more powerful than he's smoking and then some, and we tell him this is totally fine. And then they come dependent on them like you couldn't believe. But it's okay because a guy in a white coat gave it to him. And that guy knows. No, that guy's paid by the team to know. That guy's paid. And you've lost your credibility, NFL, in a lot of ways. You've lost your credibility. You hid stuff for years when it came to how bad the brain injuries were. You hid stuff for years like the smoking, you know, industry did for the product that you put out there. And the harm that they were doing to one another. And then you come and you, everybody knows what they do. I mean, everybody knows what goes on. You'd be a fool not to know. They take these pills by the hundreds monthly and then some. Because they get so dependent on it, but they build up such a tolerance for it that it no longer works on them. And they got to go deeper and deeper to avoid it. That doesn't even, and that's just their body. That doesn't even count in the things that go on with their brains and how they've been hit hundreds of times, concussion after concussion after concussion. And remember, you have a concussion, a big one's like having an earthquake. And after a while, you'll get some aftershocks. And those are smaller concussions that you may not even feel, but they're there. And then we look up 20 years later, 10 years later, 5 years after you leave the league, and you've got debilitating headaches. You can barely walk. You made some money, right? You made some money, maybe. Not everybody, some. You made a little bit of money, but you can't think. And you're tossed aside. The NFL has a huge problem. And let me tell you something about the problem the NFL has. And I don't think you guys know this. College and the NFL over the next 6 years to 10 years will start to feel the problem they're having. And that problem is young kids aren't playing Pop Warner and they're not playing high school. Moms and dads are looking. My son is 6.5 years old. He loves football. Told his mom this week. He really wanted to play last week. He said, I really want to play football. And I said, Jack, you can absolutely play football. I can't wait for you. You're going to be the best kicker or punter ever. But no. No. Now, if he gets to 18 and he wants to play it, that's him. But I look at the things that I have seen, and it just doesn't bode well. And the NFL's not feeling it now, but high school and college will feel it. Pop Warner has felt it big time. If you look around and see that there are tons of kids no longer playing. They've moved to soccer. They've moved back to baseball. And a lot of kids are saying, you know what? I'll work out here and there, and I'm going to become an e-game athlete. But I'm not going to do this. And I don't blame them. As much as I love it, I catch myself every Sunday and Saturday seeing a guy get hit and thinking to myself, wow. And when you hear more and more of these guys are shooting themselves in the chest so people can dissect their brains after they're gone, that is terrifying. And it would be one thing if we had a cure for CTE or some of these things these guys end up getting, you know, that they contribute to Parkinson's disease and, you know, early onset dementia. It'd be one thing if there was some cure for these things, but there's not. And as much as I love the game, I'm finding it harder and harder to watch because I realize what's going on. And I played in a sport for years where heading the ball was part of the game. And they're doing tons of research because you get guys who have played for 15 years who head soccer balls professionally where they come from 60, 70, 80 yards and they weigh 6, 8, 10 pounds and they're solid and they're heading them over and over and over and over again. And the fear factor is how many of those little ones add up to a big one, which adds up to what could potentially be similar situations as you're seeing in the NFL. Even now, the United States Soccer Federation isn't letting little kids until the age of 13 head the ball at practice. And I think that's good. I really do. And with the cost of sending kids to college anymore, the last thing you want is that. But you're going to see, you know what you're going to see over the next couple, I'd say 5-10 years, you're going to see high schools drop football, and the expense of the insurance is going to be too great. They're just going to say, it's just not worth it. It isn't. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Rugby's having the same problems as well. It's got a texter. Rugby is getting bigger, and they are getting bigger, and they're getting stronger, and they're having issues as well, and they're looking. And here's one of the things. Last year, Jonah Lomu, who was one of the greatest rugby players of all time, was from New Zealand. He died. He died. And there was things that they were natural causes, but he died at like 42, 43. And it was just, again, the punishment that these people are going through. And the one thing about rugby that does, even though they're still having issues, the one thing about rugby that separates it from football is we have this contact where you've got a guy running from 30 yards and another guy running from 30 yards, and they're going to meet in the center. You don't have that with rugby the way that you do with the NFL. And the guy that's going to catch the ball isn't looking at the guy that's going to hit it. And so those are some of the things that are different, but they're having issues as well there. 844-DIG-CHAD. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
I love that. You can text us. Texter just wrote in about Muhammad Ali, saying that Muhammad Ali is a perfect example of too many blows to the head. It is, look, you know what? Again, I'm not here to tell you how to raise your kid, but I just know for me, as much as I love my son, I just don't want it, you know? I don't want it. And I was telling the guys here, you know, that the word that is eventually going to do away and football is going to have the biggest trouble is, it's the word guaranteed. Guaranteed. Bryce Harper, baseball player, is going to sign a $400-plus million contract, especially if he has another great year this year. That is guaranteed. He gets hurt on the first pitch of spring training the next year, and he never plays again. He gets all of that money. These guys get cut. You see, oh, he signs a $120 million contract, and you find out 15 of it's guaranteed, and the next year he's cut. So he didn't get any of that money. That's what's going to change football on top of everything else. But hell no, I don't want my kid anywhere near. I'm sorry, I don't. I love him too much. And I love the sport, I do. But I am increasingly finding it harder and harder to watch when you know some of the things that are happening. And I've always said it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen on a Monday Night Football game. It's going to happen on a Sunday Night Football game. It's going to happen in a college game. And some guy's going to go across the middle, and he's going to get destroyed. And that'll be that. And he's going to die. We're all going to look around. And football, look, it's much safer than it's ever been as far, because they used to have deaths all the time in pro football back at the turn of the last century and through part of the, you know, the first two or three decades. They had deaths all the time. But it's going to be different. This because we know the risk factor. We know all of those things. And I always hear stupid, well, they should make them play without helmets. That's insane. You don't think about stuff. It's reactionary. But when I look at my son, he's not going to do it. Won't. Love him too much. I know he wants to play. And if you want to be a kicker, that's fine. But I don't, you know, and even then there's that risk. But the kickers don't really tackle anyways. I mean, you've seen a kicker try it, right? It doesn't look good. Does not look good. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Wrapping this thing up here with the jobs and stuff that we talked about today. Last night, I got into, so I took an Uber today, and I took an Uber last night from a guy who's from Benghazi. He's only been here about 11 months. We got to talking about Muammar Gaddafi and all of these things. And he and I, what I found to be interesting, again, you just never know. Everybody in the world has a story. The person sitting next to you today on the bus, the person at work that you know very little about, they all have a story. You don't know what their story is, right? You don't. The person who serves you food tonight, the person you serve somebody food tonight, they all have a story. And he and I started talking. He's got a 6.5-year-old and a 5.5-year-old. And we were chatting about our kids and stuff. And I asked him, I said, what was it like under Gaddafi? I mean, because, you know, we as Americans, we don't understand. We don't get it. And he said, here's the thing. The fear of Gaddafi was... He goes, he thought the same thing we did. He's insane, you know, the crazy outfits and all of that stuff. But he says, you know, the one thing is you've got people fighting now who want to be rulers. He goes, you guys don't quite get it, but it's something I've echoed for a long time, is crazy keeps crazy in. You know, we removed Saddam Hussein, and when we did, the lid... We looked in there and we said, oh, it should be okay. And we took the lid off. And what we found is there's a bunch of crazy underneath there that he was keeping in. And I know it sounds bizarre, right? And it's much different than, say, you know, North Korea, right? Because he's crazy on a different level, but they believe he's a god. Where these people are crazy and they want to kill him. They don't want to kill Kim Jong-un because they're brainwashed. These people, they want to kill whoever the next leader is because they think they should be the next dictator. They think they should be the next leader. But it was interesting talking to him and about how he views America. You know, even though that he looks at America and said, you know, you guys have definitely played a role there. There was still a love for this country. But he still loved his country. He said, you know, if my country, and God willing, it'll get back to normal soon, I want to go home. I want to be back. And that's what I always thought. Like, I'm so sick of us trying to nation build. We're always trying to nation build. We're always trying to export our values, which we think are great. And I look, our values, I believe, are the best values in the world. But it's like my morals are not your morals. Your kink is your kink. My kink is my kink. We have tried to nation build in so many wrong ways, and our footprint is everywhere. And like a giant, huge puppy that's walking through who has no control over its body, we break a lot of crap. I think we could do a better job of it. But it was very interesting to hear that perspective. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. And always email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Grab your podcast there as well. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.